can't win, Don.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
It's really good to be here. It's really good to see all of you here in support of overriding the governor's veto on such an important monumental bill. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know, when we're talking about issues like the Second Amendment, a lot of people look at it in just within the context of guns, whether or not you're for or against guns. But really, the issue is so much deeper than that. And I would say that we really need to go all the way back to some of the more important principles, such as property rights. Okay? We need to go back to some deeper principles, such as the principles of self-ownership. You know, our liberty hinges on the question of whether or not you believe you own yourself or whether or not you believe somebody else owns you. It's a fundamental principle of liberty. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, what kind of government you have. If you want to strive for liberty, you have to come to a conclusion on this particular issue, this particular matter. Now, I would argue that we own ourselves. I believe that our founding fathers were right when they wrote in the Declaration that all men are created equal and that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, I like how they said, among these rights, they didn't list all of our rights, they just said, among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, here's the reason we have government at all. Here's the whole purpose behind American government. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So my job description is a state representative. We have law enforcement here and in other parts of the state. Their job is law enforcement. Our job is, I spent several years in the United States Marine Corps as an infantryman. My job as a Marine was the same job that it really was the same job that I have right here as a state representative. Our job as members of the government, as operators or agents of the government, our job is to help keep people free. That's it. That's all we have to do. It's really a very simple job description. But oftentimes we get politicians and bureaucrats who try to expound on their job description, and before too long we have this mission creep, and next thing you know, they believe that they're in government for an entirely different reason. But really the reason that we have government, the whole reason we have government is just to help keep people free. It's to make sure that we identify that people own themselves, and it's not up to the government to decide what liberties you get and what liberties you don't get, because as John Adams called him, the great legislator of the universe was the one that told us what liberties we have. And the most that government can do, the most that we can do for each other, is protect each other's liberty, because it's mutually beneficial. So I believe that when we look at issues like the Second Amendment, the fact that we have a right to life, just by virtue of having two hands that I can ball up into fists to protect myself from anybody who would try to do my body harm, I have a right to defend myself. And our founding fathers were wise enough, had enough forethought, to give us what we would call a vested right, where they wrote in the Constitution, in the Second Amendment, that we have a right to keep and bear arms. And I think that our founding fathers were very wise, and one of them said this, somebody much smarter than me said that a government that does not trust its citizens with arms is itself unworthy of trust. And so when we see these particular issues rise to the surface in the legislature, it's very important that we pay attention to who it is that believes you have a right to keep and bear arms, because that might, it might, highlight some people that themselves might be unworthy of trust. I believe that to my core. But you know, the Second Amendment says that the federal government shall not deprive the people of the right or infringe on the people's rights to keep and bear arms, right? What the Second Amendment does, legally speaking, what the Second Amendment does is it removes from the federal government any jurisdiction over firearms regulation. It is the Second Amendment, really, is quite literally a prohibition placed on our federal government, okay? Now, do I believe that, you know, people try to say this, oh, you just want everybody walking around carrying a bazooka. You figured me out. That's what I'm going for. No, but I spent several years in the Marine Corps. And are there areas where the government, maybe at the state level, should just step in just to make sure that there's checks and balances? You know, those things are to be debated, maybe, but only at the state level, not coming from the federal government, not coming from executive orders by our president. And I think that it's incumbent on our governor and our legislature and all members of our state government to make sure that they're standing up for a certain degree of sovereignty that the Constitution reserves to the people of Missouri. I'm excited to go in here to vote to override this bill, and a lot of times politicians look for cover whenever they vote for yes and no. They want to go in, they want to vote the right way, but sometimes they just look for political cover because they want to vote the right way, but they just want to make sure that they, you know, have the right thing to say to people. Our cover to override this bill is the United States Constitution. That's it. My name's Paul Kerbin. Thank you very much for letting me be here today. I greatly appreciate it.
don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
I just wanna let you know. Yeah, get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way and out of my brain. Get out of my face and get your face shot.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Man, what a difference a couple of days makes. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. And let me turn this up a little bit. Looks like we're not quite there. We go. That looks a little better. It is the 20th of May. And on the 2019, and it's a Monday, and I hope everybody had a good weekend. And on the 20th of May in Vernon, Arizona, and Snowflake, Arizona, and Sholo, Arizona, and a whole bunch of other places in this part of Arizona, it snowed. And I don't think it ever got much above 40, 42, 45 degrees, something like that today. Never got real warm. And wind blew, and it rained and hailed and snowed, and it was wintery all day. And we're holding on to winter with every damn thing we've possibly got in us here. But that's why they tell us, as most of you that weren't listening to Amy's show, here in this part of Arizona, they warn you sternly not to put your garden in until the 1st of June. And this is why. And, you know, I talk like this is unusual. It's not unusual. It's I think it's snowed every May since we've been here. 3 years ago, I think, they had a girls' camp going on out, or maybe it was, I think it was girls' camp, or maybe it was a father and son's outing or something, I don't remember. But whatever it was a church outing out here, about 8 miles as the crow flies from here. Thanks, T-Bow and Mountain Shooter. And it snowed. Oh, I believe it was 5 inches, and that was the 16th of May. And last year, we got snow on the yesterday of May. What was that, the 19th, 18th, 19th? I got a Facebook memory thing that showed that I posted snow in here. I think it was 18th or 19th. So it's not that unusual. I just see every year, it's just kind of surprising. We don't expect it. It gets warm, gets really nice, and everybody says, "Oh, look, the trees are budding, and it's so warm. We're running around in a t-shirt. Let's go ahead and get the garden in." And then this happens, and the garden goes away. So, all right, enough of all that. And like I said, what a difference a day makes here. We have got a ton of stuff to talk about, and I doubt if I'm going to get done with all of it tonight. But we're going to try and get as much of it done as we can. A lot of interesting stories here. Some of them are rather important. Some of them is kind of funny. So we'll just do the best we can with what we got. So I'm going to start here. As we see Venezuela continuing to fail, and we see Cuba failing and rationing food and stuff there, and we've seen what happened in Detroit and in a few places here in the United States. We're seeing what's happening in San Francisco. And those of you that have listened to me for a while, Tebow has heard me say this I don't know how many times. Dan joined us. Good to see you. I've talked about this numerous times. Matter of fact, Tebow probably remembers me talking to some of the Indians that came into our shop in Farmington, and we talk about Obama, and we talk about, I said, doesn't it bother any of you that some of your young men can't even start a fire, that they don't know how to hunt, they don't know how to gut a deer if they manage to kill one? Doesn't it bother you that the government has done everything for you, that you can no longer do anything for yourself? And I'd always add in there, maybe not you in particular, because there's usually somebody that I knew, but what about all these young men out here on the reservation that, spend time terrorizing people and getting drunk and carrying on and can't do anything for themselves? Well, there's a lady here, and I want to share this with you, and it's going to kind of disrupt things. You remember I have to jump to my other format. There has to be about 10 seconds of dead air here, and then a few seconds afterwards. But I want you to hear this from her, so give me just a second, and let me switch over here, and I'll be RAT right back.
Go to an Indian reservation. So if you want to see an example of failed socialism, go to an Indian reservation. To those of you who would say that this country is better going in a direction of pure socialism, I ask you, as a Native American, you've already placed us on reservations. Why place the rest of the country on one? My name is Michaela LeRae. I was born in Bishop, California, and I'm a member of a Southern California Native American tribe. In 1989, Native American activist Russell Means sat before the Senate, and he boldly paraphrased, "If you want
to see an example of failed socialism, go to an Indian reservation."
If you go to Indian reservations these days and in the past, you will see impoverished reservations living in third world conditions, and they are a product of a dependent lifestyle, dependent on a government to appropriate funds correctly to them. That is what socialism is. That is where socialism will take us. And it will create a dependent society to where we have no independence anymore on what we can do and what we can't do. The government programs that are in place now to help the Native American, they didn't even need to be there in the first place. If they had let us keep our land and let us keep our way of life, we could have flourished as a people. But instead, the government thought it was best to place us on reservations and strip all of our freedoms away, one by one. And now we are dependent on those programs. Many of us have become addicted to the federal wallet. We sit and wait for the whims of appropriations from Congress. And unfortunately, that's killing us. To increase the tens of billions of dollars that we already have going towards Native American programs, which there are a lot, how would that solve anything at this point? These programs have been in place for a long time, and yet we still can go to a reservation today and ask them if they have running water. No. Electricity? No. Sewage? Quality health care, quality education, all these things are missing. So how much more money and how many more programs do we need before we find our self-determination and start fixing these things on our own? Government programs, more programs, that's not the answer. The answer is independence in every way of life for us, for my people. It's something that we need to tackle to remain an asset to this country. Indianpreneurship means that we promote a lifestyle of entrepreneurship for the Indian. Examples would be in Oregon, where four tribes have banded together to create a nonprofit fund to promote business plans and knowledge on creating business. Another would be in Alaska, where they are taking advantage of the Section 8 Small Business Loan Act program, and they are providing goods and services to the federal government. Many natives fear the aspect of adopting capitalism in the modern day, as they might lose their culture or their way of life. And I say to you, is there any pride in letting the government take care of us day to day? Is there any culture in that? Is that how we were before the white man came to our land? Is that how we should be now? We've been doing that for hundreds of years, and it's solved absolutely nothing. So it's time for a new way of life and new traditions. To when we look to ourselves to create, we look to ourselves for funding, we look to ourselves for the basic necessities of life. So those of you who would say that this country is better going in a direction of pure socialism, I ask you as a Native American, you've already placed us on reservations. Why place the rest of the country on one?
Okay, there you have it. That's interesting to me. You know, anybody else could have said that. President Trump could have said it. Coke Reynolds could have said it. Anybody could have said it. And we wouldn't have meant very much. Coming from an Indian, I think it would. I think it's more carries a little more weight. That's like when you see some of these black people talking about how they're basically living off the government wallet, as she says. And it means more, at least to me, when these people, when members of their own tribe or their own race, their own culture, their own whatever, gets out there and says stuff like this. And it is, I would think, if I was a member of any of these, there's one or two good self-sufficient tribes in the country. And we talked about them on the show here. It's been several years ago now, but I don't remember where it was. I think it was one. I think it was in North Dakota or somewhere. There was one. But these people have huge programs. You know, the only thing that has done any good for them is the casinos, and it's only the casino owners. I don't know how much the tribes are getting off of that, but I know that a lot of individual members of the tribes go to these casinos, and they're not doing well because that's their choice. They should understand that, and everybody else should understand that. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. We've got a lot of stuff to do tonight, so I need to get off of this here. Have you heard about the woman, committee meeting chaired by council member, looks like Kashama Sawant. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, but it's close enough. She wants to put a damper on drive-by shootings by installing speed bumps in some of these high crime areas. I'm struggling here to think of how that's going to solve anything, or how that curve. Maybe it'll slow the cars down a little bit so they can get a better aim. I don't know, but that. Huh? Yeah, just go to a different neighborhood that doesn't have speed bumps. I guess that would work too. So, anyway. All right, let's continue to march here. Let me go look at the chat room and see who all. Yeah, the mountain shooter in Guam might flip over. Yeah, that's same quality right there, same caliber of person now. Okay, let's talk about gun safety. Have we ever talked about gun safety on this show before? I think at least a million times. So. Yeah. There's a 27-year-old, there's a mother here that shot her 27-year-old daughter fatally shot her after mistaking her for an intruder. This was in St. Cloud, Florida, and Tebow might have already heard this story. But anyway, she mistook her daughter for an intruder Tuesday night. Said she was asleep in her bed. She thought someone had broken into her house and was quickly approaching her. According to the police, the homeowner fired one round and at the subject, who was later identified as the homeowner's 27-year-old daughter. You know, I cannot even freaking imagine in my wildest nightmares what this woman must be going through. I can't even fathom this at all. And I have used this exact scenario many, many times in my classes, particularly the concealed weapons class. And I say, you know, what if you've got to identify that target? And I bring this up a lot of times during the low light shooting part of it. You're talking about flashlights and lasers and night sights and all this stuff. And I said, you have to identify the target. You have to positively identify the target. Just because you see someone walking in your house doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to die. There's a lot of circumstances. You know, duplexes and apartments and motels are a large part of these mistakes that just happened. Remember the cop that shot that guy here a while back. A lot of these things, you know, they're right next door to each other, of course. They look just alike. Get a few beers in you, or you got something on your mind, hard day at work, tired, mad, whatever. You could easily walk into the wrong apartment. You might be walking into the wrong one. Maybe someone else walked into yours and is waiting there, you know, asleep on the couch or something, thinking they're home, or vice versa. It could be the other way around. So I can't stress this enough, and I've stressed it a lot, many, many times. You have absolutely got to identify that target. I've talked about, you know, a son or a daughter that has gone off to college or to the military and, you know, either got kicked out or, you know, took an unexpected holiday vacation to come home, wanted to surprise mom or whatever the case may be, still has a key to the house, and the last thing they expected was to be shot as soon as they walked through the door. So, you know, these kind of things unfortunately happen way too regularly, and you just got to identify that target. You just got to. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. And here in if you've seen, I have actually two I had two stories here that go together. Oh, here it is. Here's the other one. Okay, let's do this. Okay, H.R. 2527. Now, I'm hoping this doesn't pass, but I'm afraid that it actually might. This is Vaccinate All Children Act of 2019. This is Representative Wilson has Shirley. Oh no, says Idaho. I was thinking Shirley. That's not Heather Wilson. I know her, but this is Frederica Wilson, Democrat, Florida. Okay, that looked like ID. It's got brackets on the D, so it's Democrat from Florida. Says this is to amend the Public Health Service Act to condition receipt by states. Let's see, requirement for students in public elementary and secondary schools to be vaccinated in accordance with the recommendations of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and for other purposes. And for other purposes. Not sure where they're going with that. But maybe it won't pass this year, this time, but, you know, it's not the first time this stuff has come around. I promise you, you know, as we lose states to the blue side, as we will quite possibly lose Arizona this year, or in 2020, things like this are much more likely to pass. Every time something like this happens, the closer we get to the Civil War, because I know a whole hell of a bunch of people, hell of a bunch of people that have zero intention of complying with this if it were to pass. Zero. And I am one of them. However, my kids are already gone. They're out of school. We won't have to worry about it, but maybe grandkids. I may have to go and square away some of these things at different schools here, but my kids were never vaccinated. My oldest is 25 now, youngest 19, and none of those have ever been vaccinated. Yes, I've gone through some, remedial training with some of these principles and stuff, but I always, always won. I never backed down, and my kids have never once had a needle in their arm that wasn't an antibiotic for another injury or something like that. And even most of that I've taken care of with colloidal silver. So they are not familiar with needles. Well, one of them is because she's diabetic, but she does that herself. So that's different. Senator Rand Paul says the government should not force people to receive vaccinations. Now, he may or may not stand for this. We'll see how much tenacity he has. We'll see where this goes. We'll definitely keep an eye on it. But anyway, all right. Give me just a second here, or maybe like a couple of seconds. I lost something here and there. Okay, there it is, and there's that. All right, now we're on the road to... Okay, stand by with me just a minute. All right, well, let's do that. I was sorry I didn't have that ready here. I've been trying to do too many things all at once. So I think what I'm going to do, we're just a couple minutes early, but I think I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to have a news blitz here and try to get through a bunch of these stories here before quitting time. So stay with me.
I'll be back.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here. But since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience. Do what you know in your heart is right. For we, the people, will hold you accountable.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. Let's see how many of these stories we can get out of the way here before quitting time. It's interesting here, living in this part of the country. I told you we don't plant our gardens till the 1st of June. It's funny that people in California and southern Arizona and out in Florida and some of those places, they're already harvesting part of their garden. They're already eating stuff that we're not going to get to see for another 3 or 4 weeks. So anyway, all right, let me see where I'm at here. This one here, short and sweet, we've got another anti-hunting Democrats trying to introduce some grizzly hunting ban. It's, the grizzlies have been more than adequately protected for a long time, and grizzlies to a lesser degree, particularly up in Wyoming and Washington and northern Idaho and Montana. Grizzlies offer some of the same problems that wolves do here. Not quite to that degree, but, the wolves are terrible, but wolves in all of those states, plus here in Arizona and New Mexico, it's getting to be a epidemic type thing here that needs to be cured, and needs to be cured soon. This anti-hunting congressman, by the way, Democrat, you already knew that, of course, is sadly from here in Arizona, Raul Grijalva or something like that. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Anyway, he's been on my poop list for years, and wish he would just go away. But he says that the committee of 18 people would include 6 people from the different regions of grizzly bear populations, 6 from native tribes of those same regions, and 6 more representing the agencies of the Department of the Interior. The bill only allows the secretary to issue a permit to take a grizzly bear in extremely limited circumstances. Those exceptions include for scientific or zoological purposes or for tribal purposes involving religion. They also include in those limited circumstances when a bear poses a threat to public safety or agriculture, which is pretty frequent. In those instances, however, the secretary may only issue a permit if non-lethal methods of control have failed. If every native tribe and grizzly bear habitat agrees the bear cannot be relocated to their territory, and if the governor of the state requests the permit in writing, H.R. 2532 expressly forbids any regulated hunting for grizzly bears by sportsmen. So there you go. Okay, this next story is kind of close to home. Not that it happened here. It was, where did it happen? It was... well, happened somewhere, I'm sure of that. Talked a lot of names here and a lot of church names. Chicago, maybe, yeah. Looks like it happened in Illinois. There is a young, pretty, pregnant teenage girl here who was murdered and, the baby was cut from her womb after the woman offered her free baby clothes over Facebook. You know, I don't know if we told you or not, but there was a, not that this had anything to do with stealing babies, but there was a, our neighbor over here had, we have very observant neighbors, and one of them, I was actually in CERT training, and my neighbor called me and said, hey, my wife just called and said that there's somebody taking down the round pen, the horse pen over next door. And I said, well, I'm in the middle of this training. I said, if I need to come, I'll drop it and come right now. He said, no, I'm almost there. I'll take care of it. What happened was the guy had bought this round pen over Craigslist. The guy that sold it to him met him at an intersection about a mile away from there, took him up, showed him where it was at, got the money for the pen, and said, I'll be right back. I got to run an errand here, and I'll come back, and I'll help you load it up. And that was the last he saw of the guy. And here is this guy loading this round pen up that he, in good faith, had purchased, but didn't belong to the guy that sold it to him. And so what my point is here is the dangers of buying, selling, meeting people and all that over social media and online services and stuff. So the reason I say this was close to home is because when I was living I had just left Grants, New Mexico, so I was, this would have been probably 30 years ago. A woman was, I think she was a real estate agent. She was pregnant, and they went up on Mount Taylor to show a lady some, a house out there. And she was bushwhacked, and they actually cut her baby from her stomach with a set of car keys. I told you before, I did a couple of security classes for some real estate companies. I had never realized. Obviously you foresee or you think about that could be dangerous. I didn't realize just how dangerous this was, and I'm probably more so now, but if you do a search for, real estate agent killed, real estate agent kidnapped, this, that, and the other, property management owner or something like that, there are thousands of hits that you'll come up with. I never knew it was that bad. Anyway, unfortunately, this girl was 9 months pregnant. And 19 years old, after she had, she disappeared April 23rd after she made a request or an appeal to mothers on a Facebook group called Help a Sister Out.
She needed help securing a double stroller for a toddler and a new baby on the way, according to social media posts and a pastor who has been assisting the family. So, there you have it. That's the world we live in right now. Speaking of the world that we live in, you remember Stacey Abrams, right? The black girl did dumber than a sack full of hammers. I believe she was from Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. From down south somewhere, just absolutely. She's running a race with AOC here. Yeah, she's from Georgia. Well, anyway, she says this is very much like Guam tipping over, very much along the same lines. She says she has a real chance to win if she jumps in the 2020 primary race. Now, we're talking presidential primary race. We're talking about jumping all the way into the big pond here. And that's all I got to say about that. There's a sheriff in Cochise County, Arizona. We've got some pretty good sheriffs here in Arizona. I've got a couple of bad ones too, but we got some pretty good ones. Cochise County, Arizona. This is a county that borders Mexico down there. Rugged, rugged country. And through this country, if you walk down there and you look or you see some of the videos, there are well-worn highways, well-worn paths by the drug traffickers and human smugglers and whatnot that come through, and people migrating into the country. This sheriff says, his name is Mark Daniels, D-A-N-N-E-L-S, said the problem began when the U.S. government decided to build walls and push illegal traffic from cities into remote areas. So they built the walls where the cities are to keep the illegals and the drugs from coming into the city, but it channeled all of them into these remote areas. And Cochise County definitely has some remote areas. And I lost my play. There we go. So it turned his backyard into a highway with everything in the world illegal coming in there. So he's decided that that's got to change. He said you used to sit out there as much as, 10 years ago and more and see a stream of lights coming across the desert. He said you could see the smuggling coming through the mountains and not be able to do anything about it. Too far away, and by the time they got there, they were discovered and it didn't help. So they've got cameras out there. Said they got 400 cameras out there right now. They're hoping to have 700 by the end of this year. And with those cameras, they are actually achieving some captures and some deports and arrests and whatever. So he said it's irrelevant who the president is. Our congressional leaders will not secure this border. I put this squarely on their back. I don't work for the people on Capitol Hill. I work for the people of Cochise County. That's what a sheriff is supposed to say. That's what sheriffs do. That's what they're supposed to do anyway. I'm sure by now everyone has heard. Let me go check the chat room and see what's going on before I get too far away here. T-Bull says they don't plant. What do you mean you don't plant tomatoes till September? Oh, I see. You die of mold and so. I gotcha. Okay, you're going into your rainy season. Okay, I see that. You have some of the same problems we do, or the same results, just a different problem. All right. Let me look and see. All right, AZ Bound is with us, and Detinker, Mountain Shooter, and Nan, Yakima Glock, and one anonymous there just popped in. And let's see here. All right. So, all right, that's all I got. Oh, next one.
Sorry, I'm going so fast. I've still got half a dozen stories to do. I don't know if I'm going to get them done yet or not. A lot of you probably saw this. The Air Force has deployed 20 missiles that could zap the electronics of military vehicles, military installations and stuff of North Korea or Iran. It says with powerful, super powerful microwave. That's an EMP is what they're doing. Rendering their military capabilities virtually useless with no collateral damage. All right. We have been, hold on a minute. Dang, I feel like I swallowed a spider or something here. Hang on. All right. There we go. Several thoughts on this. One of them is if they could do it to them, they can do it to us, obviously. And we've talked about this EMP business, endlessly on this show. And it talks about rendering their military useless. Well, if the tables were turned and they happen to do it to us, they can't render our military completely useless, because I know for a fact that we have a great deal of our stuff is hardened and protected, but they cannot save everything. So I it'll be damaging, but I don't know to what degree. But anyway, just keep that in mind. They got them going. They could do it anytime they want. Now, this is a very disturbing story, and I hope that hope you don't have any kids up listening to this. I'm not even going to get into detail with this, because this story is pretty detailed. And the pictures that they show in these books and stuff, this is bad. It's in Minnesota. And, of course, it involved Democrats. You knew that already. This April 29th, so less than a month ago.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.